This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute.
Hey boo, it's me, Roz Dresfeles. You guys, this weekend is the live show. And I think this will probably be the last one I'm going to do for a couple of months at least in LA. So I would love to see you there. There are still tickets left. And you just go to the link in my Instagram bio, or you go to cavernclubtheater.com to get those tickets for this Saturday, which is March 7th at 8 p.m. at Casita del Campo in Silver Lake, Los Angeles, California. Elena will be there. I might have a special guest in the works. And also Dave Holmes will be there. So we're going to have a great time and maybe catch us some ghosts. Speaking of catching ghosts, I had on the podcast today someone. I'm really interested lately with this show and just kind of taking it in different directions and not always having just comedians and drag queens. I have somebody that is very special to my heart, and she actually has worked at the Hollywood Improv Comedy Club for years, and we have had some reports there of some paranormal-like phenomenon. I also wanted to tell you real quick that I was in San Francisco last weekend, and I had a good time. I went to a couple of haunted places. I stayed in a haunted hotel, and I'm going to be making a video that I'll post, and you can see a little bit of my paranormal adventures. But nothing happened paranormal. But I did get some good paranormal tea. And I went to the Winchester Mystery House, and I went on the tour, and we had a great tour guide, and he kept calling ghosts oogly booglies. And because of that, I'm full on snatching that, and I will be referring to ghosts as oogly booglies from here on out. So please enjoy this episode with the amazing Rita Piazza. You guys, I am joined by somebody truly that I feel is like family to me. And if you may not have heard of her before, but you're going to fall in love. She is a true Hollywood legend. She is an icon of stand-up comedy behind the scenes. Rita Piazza!
Hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rita. Okay, so Rita is the what is your title now?
Now I am talent and development, but I was a general manager
of the world famous Hollywood Improv, which is my favorite comedy club. No offense to any others. It's the place where I've had my show for a couple of years, and I was a door person there.
Yes, you were.
And so I've known you for a number of years.
Yeah,
now.
What year did you start?
I don't know. 2012 I was there until 2015. That was my last job.
I remember interviewing you, and I was like, "Oh yeah, we need this. We need this kid on our team." And then do you remember you were an artist too? You drew a really fucked up picture of poor Jay and Paige and myself. I still have it above my desk. Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's okay. So, for anyone that doesn't know the Hollywood Improv, first of all, I found that anytime you bring up the Hollywood, you bring up the Improv or any of the Improv clubs, which is a chain, people think, oh, improv. But it's no, it's like it's stand up.
Right.
And especially the Hollywood improv, it's like the like mecca. It's just the place for the biggest stand-up comedians in the world. I mean, it's like such a Hollywood hotspot. And it's like I've been there. I remember one time I was there. Lady Gaga was sitting there watching Jerry Seinfeld on like a Tuesday night.
Right.
And that's just a Tuesday night.
It really is a special little place. I mean, you know what it's like. You were there with us. We're like a little family there. It is a profound little place. It's not a job. It's a lifestyle to us. But Bud started his first room. Bud Friedman is our founder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has the monocle. He hosted Amy's Evening at the Improv for,
yes,
you know, the younger peeps.
And there's that good documentary about the club.
Yes, that's on...
Behind the Brick Wall, I want to say it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It's on
Epix. It's an Epix special.
You might be able to find it on Amazon Prime or one of those. It's definitely streaming.
Yeah, it has our whole story there, but it's just incredible. He started it in 1963 in New York on 44th Street. And then in 1975, he goes, let's go west, young man. And he opened it up there. And yeah, it's where it started off as more of a cabaret place.
Uh-huh.
And he had singers. Like he managed Bette Midler. Dustin Hoffman would play the piano. Barry Manilow played the piano. And then a comic one day said, hey, I want to come up and do some time. And then it just sort of gradually, you know, he knew he was on to something.
Yeah, and that's like where Robin Williams and Jay Leno, I mean, everyone.
And, you know, Paige and I went and had dinner with some old school people that were there in the 80s. And they were talking about, you know, Belushi and Bruce Willis. And it was just really the place where everybody hung out.
Oh, and still, and not only just the biggest comedians in the world, like I think I've seen or met every pop diva there. I've seen them all there. I think Britney,
oh, yeah.
Miley. I mean, everyone
Ariana
just hangs
Grande.
Up. Yeah.
Pete Davidson was there with Ariana. And they had like six people and we were oversold. So we smashed them into the first show.
Oh my
but
God.
My question was, are they going to go to the second show? Because we were turning the room and getting ready for the second show. And I'm like, oh, fuck, like this is going to be sardines in here. And Paige, I was yelling at Paige like through text and
the booker, Paige, who happens to be here in
yeah,
the room.
She's being quiet like a little mouse.
It's okay.
But I go, Paigey, are they staying for the 10 o'clock show? She's like, checking. And then I waited like, you know, another 5 minutes. Paige texting her. Are they staying? I need to know if I need to hold this booth. We're fucked. Like, we're oversold. I don't know. And then finally, I saw her. We were, like, passing each other in the lab. And I yelled at her, Paige, will you please check? And she yells back over the both rooms are turning. And she goes, I don't know. They're making out in the green room. I can't ask them. And I remember our minds just met. And I was like, oh, okay. But there's always, like, those fun little antics.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So we could talk about celebrity. I mean, literally, you could talk about celebrities for hours that we've all encountered at the Improv. But what a lot of people don't know about is that there's some visitors from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a known place for being haunted. Like the comedy store up the street is definitely known as a haunted
100%.
Place.
100%. Mm-hmm.
But the Improv, I don't know that people know about that. I do remember a couple years ago. I think it was after I worked there. You guys told me that Taps came in from the TV show Ghost Hunters.
And they did.
Now, what was that all about?
So they contacted us. It was really, I didn't expect it at all. And they contacted us and they just wanted to come through and they like had all these lights and this equipment. And we literally spent the night there. It was me, Paige, and Nicole was there. We were all like, we stayed till like 5 o'clock in the morning. And we did the upstairs, the new green room, which I've never felt anything there.
Where is that in the?
Above the lab.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like where you go and you hang out.
Definitely.
For your shows. And they went there. We went into the showroom and Bud Friedman had an old, and they were like asking questions of people and they had like these cool lights that would like light up. Remember we were like asking questions and Bud had, his assistant was Fran Cowan. She was amazing. I think she passed at like 95 years old, but she'd always wear these big heels. She was always had her lashes done. She was the one, when I was 30 years old, she told me I had jowls. Like she had like, you know, she was like very young heart. She's like, you need to go see somebody, you have jowls.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I don't have jowls, I'm 30, Franny. But anyway, she had just passed a couple years before. And they asked, like, is Fran, are you here? And the light went on on the main stage. But they went up to the mezzanine. All my experiences have been in the mezzanine.
Yeah. Well, I only had one, but it was up there, too. Which is, so you're talking about if you go into the venue, you go into like the restaurant bar, the upstairs, right?
Right. Like as soon as you walk into the front door, you'll see a staircase that goes up.
Yeah.
Now up there, we call that the mezzanine. And it used to be where there were booths and there were dining tables up there. So we could feed people like an overflow. People would eat up there. But then if you went to the left, now there's a full wall, but it used to be a pony wall, like a half wall. And then if you went to the left, there looked like a little lounge area. We had bookshelves in there. They were built in. And we had a sofa. And then right there was the entrance to our office. And remember our office? You had to, like, go down and duck under the wall.
Yeah.
That was Bud's office, everybody's office for years and years until we moved to the other side. But that was our office for years. And up against on the other side of that, I know it's hard to explain, is the main showroom.
Yeah.
But it's upstairs. So that whole mezzanine area is where my experiences have happened.
Okay, so let's hear some stories.
Okay.
So what was your first experience at the Hollywood Improv?
So I transferred in 99, and I was 28 years old, and my boss at the time, you know, Melrose, that Melrose area, we're open till 2, and then by the time you're doing paperwork, you know, it's 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. My boss at the time said, he was very serious. He said, Rita, Melrose changes after a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the alley's right behind us. And he said, if I catch you here alone, I will fire you. He was very clear with me. And I feel like as I've been talking to more and more people didn't believe me at first, but the more I talk to people, it seems like this is happening to people that are new there, because all of this is kind of in my first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because now when I'm alone there, I feel like when they realize that you're supposed to be there, that it's very comforting to me now. But it wasn't then.
I had no clue that it was haunted. I didn't even think about it being haunted, nothing. And when I worked there as a door person, one of your jobs is to make sure all the doors are locked at the end of the night. And I guess, you know, make sure that there's not people creeping or I don't know. So I went to that upstairs that we're talking about. And I noticed that the one door was like slightly open. The door, if you go up the stairs, the one on the left, that's like a little green room, mm-hmm. that door was open. And so I went to shut it and I thought I locked it, but I went to shut it. And then I walked down and I shut off the lights and I was going down the stairs in the restaurant bar and I heard the door creak open. And I like stopped and I was like, wait, because it's not like a door that, like, it's, you know, you shut it and it locks in or whatever. Like, it's not going to just open. So I thought that was kind of weird. And then I went to walk back up and it shut. Like, it shut real abruptly. So I don't know what that was all about. But then I remember I went to, like, Jay, the manager, and I was like, is this place haunted? And he was like, yeah, you know, Rita said a couple of things before. And then I talked to you, and you're like, bitch, I got stories.
I'm telling you, that area that you're describing right at the top landing of the staircase is literally where all my stuff comes from. My first one was I was alone there one night. I was not balancing. I knew I was going to be there recounting the money, and it was right when I started, when he warned me, and I let the door guy go because he was exhausted, and I was counting my money, and I heard very clear footsteps coming up that staircase, and to the point where I jumped up and I was thinking, I'm fired. I don't know what I'm going to tell him, because he would go out partying and I thought he just stopped by the club to check on me. And there was nobody there. Like, I went running out of the office and there was nobody there. But the second situation was, again, I was closing, and this is, you know, a year later, and I was closing and I had one person there with me, and the same thing, I wasn't balancing, I knew I was going to take a while, and I was in my office and I said, you know what, just go ahead and take off. I'm going to be here a while. So as soon as he went out the office, down the stairs, out the double front doors, and I heard the doors close. And literally, like, within a minute, it sounded like, Roz, it sounded like 4 to 6 people in the showroom on the other side of the wall. They were throwing furniture around. It was like moving furniture, crashing, and my heart is pounding. And I literally thought that there was somebody in our club that saw him leave.
Mm-hmm. And they thought it was open.
And they thought they were alone.
Yeah.
And they were taking our sound equipment. I thought that we were being robbed.
Yeah.
And it was right on that other side of the wall in that office area. And it stopped very abruptly because I was standing up and I said, God, did I just hear what I think I just heard? And then it was like it answered me because then again, boom, boom, boom. It sounded like they were throwing tables and chairs and like trying to get up high and get our lights because we have expensive shit in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I smacked my head. I went running down, like out of the office, and we had that half wall. I smacked my head on the wall. I almost fell down the stairs. I went running down the stairs. I had my purse and my phone. Almost fell down the stairs straight out the door, and I went running past Fred Siegel's, and I called 911. I'm like, somebody is in my club, and they are robbing us right now. Cops pull up, they go in there. They're in there for maybe 15 minutes. Clearing the place, they come out, they look at me like I'm smoking heroin.
Nothing.
There was nothing. I went in there and the showroom was perfectly in place. And that's when I'm like...
Now, did you have, at that point, were there cameras in the showroom?
No. We didn't get cameras in that club until 2013.
Wow. I wonder how that noise was being made if there was nothing
I don't
moved.
Know. It was really, really scary, but... my next experience, I had 2 experiences with shadow people right in that area you're talking about, Roz. Exactly in that area.
Okay, what happened?
So our first show.
Are you talking about shady people?
Like shadow people.
Or shadow
I
people.
Had to look it up. It was so.
Because I've met some shady people on Melrose.
It was.
Nowadays on Melrose, if you haven't been to Melrose in Hollywood, California, it's nothing but 17-year-olds with face tattoos that have really expensive cars, and I don't know why. And they're all in line to buy new sneakers.
Yeah. They were
But that
shadow.
Was not this. This was shadow people.
Yeah. I was running the floor, and the first show was very, very busy. The second show, not so much, but the first show was getting out, and it was hectic. And one of my servers, it was Jay. It was before he was a manager.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jay, I'll meet you upstairs in a couple minutes to check you out. You know, so I could get his paperwork, get his money. But it took me a little while. So the bottom area was packed. The top area, the mezzanine, we didn't seat dinners up there. It was dark. So we used to have lights up there. It was completely dark. And I started walking up the stairs. And right in that area that you're talking about, there used to be a half wall to the left. You're walking up the stairs. I saw the outline of this person jump and like bend down, like jump around the wall like they were hiding. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like mischievous, yeah. Like jumping and hiding.
Like, do you think they saw you and they're like,
it was absolutely
away.
Like they were hiding from me.
Yeah.
And I'm marching up the stairs and I go, Jay, I see you. You're such a butthole. I see you. You're going to jump out and scare me. And I go up there and there's nobody there. And I go, holy crap. And that was the second time that I had seen a shadow person in that
now,
area.
Now, describe the shadow person.
It looks like a full... It was a male, definitely. And it was a full, like, physical, solid, perfectly black outline of a person. And I didn't know they were called shadow people. I'd never experienced this. Until I went and researched it. I mean, I called my brother-in-law. He was going to be a priest before he met my sister.
Oh, so, he was like in the seminary.
Yeah. So I called him. I'm like, do we believe in this stuff? Because all this stuff is happening and I'm seeing this stuff. And he said, absolutely. So I had never heard of it. And then I did some research and yeah, there's a lot on shadow people. And I saw another time going up the stairs, maybe like a few months later, it went to the right. So I'm going up the stairs. It was dark and it went to the right. And I thought it was a customer because you were there. It's like sometimes people would wander up there.
Yeah.
And I thought a customer was up there and like lost because it walked to the right. And I said, honey, do you need some lights up here? I can get you some lights up here. What are you doing? And there was no one there. There was no one.
Do you think
there.
It was the same person? The same shadow
I do.
Person?
Yes. Like the physicality of it was the same. So
I think it could be a comedian. I mean, if they're mischievous like that, if they're playing tricks on you, they're making noise.
I've been thinking about this before we were going to sit down, and I'm not sure that because there's so many characters that sit at that bar.
That's true.
There's so many characters that are regulars that either wanted to be comedians or they were writers that were staples there.
Well, and it's a place, I mean, I certainly feel very connected to it. I mean, maybe I'll haunt it one day.
Oh, my gosh. What's going to happen when Roz haunts us? I can't even imagine.
Comedian, television's Yasser Lester.
He was our office manager before he really, you know, got his took flight.
Yeah.
And he was our office manager, I want to say, for like 2 years. But he has a story as well, because I remember this exchange. And he said that we could give him ring him up.
Let's try to call him and see what he has to say.
Hello?
You're there, Yasser Frass. Hi, Yasser Lester.
Hey.
Hi, Yasser. This is Roz Dresfeles. How are you?
What's going on?
Okay. What happened to you at the improv?
Okay, so I don't know how much you've been filled in on, but I was, close to 10 years ago, I worked in the front office, technically the upstairs office. I would do like the balancing of the books, the prelim balancing of the books and stuff. Because of that, I came in first thing in the morning to get it ready for the managers that evening. You know, Rita was the head of the club. So I would get everything during the day ready for her to, you know, handle it at night. So one morning I usually got there around, you know, between 9 and 9:30. And most times the cleaning guy, his name was Jesus, he was there. But for whatever reason, this one morning, I don't know if he was late, if he just didn't, he had the day off or something crazy, whatever. He's not in the building. So it's just me. I'm balancing the books. And keep in mind, like, I am scared of, like, ghost stuff. But I'm not like I'm not always looking for ghosts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, I think I'm doing the opposite. I'm like always trying to avoid the idea of a ghost because I don't want to be scared.
Okay. So, did you think that this place was haunted at the time when this happened?
I'd heard stories, but I also I will say this. I think a lot of times, just with a certain whether scientifically or not, I do think certain places and, you know, concentrations of energy can exist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when people said it was haunted, I was kind of like, okay, like, but I didn't think anything of it more than, you know, a second or two, you know?
Sure.
But at this time, I was sitting in the office, and so it's complete, the office is completely upstairs, and to get in, you would walk in a door. Then there was a half wall.
Yes, we were just talking about this.
Under, yeah. So we had to crawl under this half wall. And there's no quick way to do it. You can't get in, you can't get out. Like, truly, in cases of an emergency, it was a very dangerous thing to have.
Yeah, that's probably why it's not there anymore.
So I'm sitting there one morning. I'm balancing the books. At this point, it's probably like 9:45 in the morning. Keep in mind, I'd been up for, you know, at least 2 or 3 hours. It's not like, it wasn't like something I rolled out of bed and got there, or, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I wasn't even drinking anymore. So there's all the classic excuses are tossed out the window.
Okay.
I'm sitting there balancing the books. Again, I'm by myself. To the breath I felt on my ear. So I had a feeling, I literally felt it. And then someone whispered in my ear, they just went, "Yeah, sir." They just said my name, and they said it perfectly. And again, I felt the air of their words on my ear, and I was like, oh, that was weird. So I turn around reactively thinking it's, Rita or Rita in early for some reason, or Jesus or somebody, and I turn around and there's literally no one there. Also, keep in mind that to get into the office outside of the half wall, you would have to hear them come in. It's physically impossible to sneak in and out.
Yeah.
So I felt it and I went, oh, that was weird. So it took me a second because I turned around, like kind of giggling, like I was about to catch someone and be like, what are you doing? And there was no one there. And I sat there for a second and I took a very deep breath. And then I ran out as fast as I could. I've never been more scared outside of, like, an actual danger, you know, outside of, like, a car accident or something. It was the scariest moment. I hauled. I screamed for Jesus' name, but he wasn't there because I was just trying to double check. I got outside. I stood on the curb. And I don't know if Rita told you, but I called her.
Yes.
And I was like, Rita, something is wrong. Someone just whispered in my ear at the improv. I know no one's here. And she was just like, oh, my God. Like, I'm going to try to be there as quickly as possible. And I just stood outside.
Do you think it?
Because I was like, I couldn't go back in. I'm telling you, I was sick to my stomach, terrified.
Could you tell, though, like looking back, do you think it was a male voice or a female voice? Or do you have any idea ghost?
It was absolutely a male voice. It was unmistakably male.
Because we're talking about this shadow figure ghost man up there that sounds mischievous that Rita was telling me stories about. It sounds like the same person. I don't know who that is, though.
Wait, say that last part again?
I don't know who it is. We're trying to get to the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who it is either, but it was mortifying.
And, was hysterical.
Again, I've had other, like, I have sleep paralysis. There's other things that, like, in my life where I was like, was that a ghost? And it is all easily explained away. And I also truly believe that, like, in most of these circumstances, you can go, like, you were tired, or this set of circumstances led to this thing, right? Like, most times you can explain it away. This one, it's not just the idea that this thing said my name, because you can hear things. You know, auditory hallucinations are extremely valid and real. The problem is that I also felt the air of this being on me. It truly, and I've told Rita this before, it was so in my ear, I could essentially feel my eardrum rattle. It was in the recesses of my body. It was when I talk about, like, otherworldly experiences, it is the first one I talk about. And it is weirdly something that I think on our deathbeds bind me and Rita. We will talk about
100%
until we're out of here. It was just it was just insane. It was so scary.
I mean, even a decade later because Yasser was actually, performing last night at our show, which was so exciting. He was on the main stage. And before I left, I go, oh my God, Yasser's here. I need to go down and just, see if if we can call him or if he can just, remind me of all the details. And 10 years later, when I said, hey, I need to talk to you in the hallway last night, I go, yes. I'm doing a podcast tomorrow about ghosts, and his face just right. I mean, immediately his face was like, "Oh my God, yes, please!" And I'll never forget it. He was literally wouldn't go back in the building.
Yeah,
I mean, he was just. I could see the blood ran out of his head.
How much longer did you work after that?
I mean, I had to work the rest of the day. It was an hourly job.
But, like, did you stay at the company for long? How much longer were you an employee, though?
Oh, I mean, years. Probably another 2 years.
Yeah.
I would have been terrified the entire time.
I was. We talked about it constantly. Like,
would you hear
Rita? After that, I feel like Rita. That's when you told me the story of, like, hearing the piano playing late at night.
We haven't gotten to that one yet. Have you? Did you hear other people telling ghost stories when you worked there?
Not until I told mine.
Yeah,
I swear to you, it wasn't. It wasn't something that, like, because again. Had I'm telling you, I would have written it off as like, oh, I've been predisposed to think that it's this thing, when in actuality, I was thinking a thought and the air conditioner kicked on and it like brushed against my ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there's so many things that I would have written it off for, but I'm telling you, the moment I started telling people, there are people that told me, you know, that as they were walking upstairs to the office one morning, that they saw a man like sitting at the table, and then the moment they got out there, it was gone. You know,
oh,
like
my God.
Weird things like that. But again, none of that was said until I started sharing my story. So it's almost as if we have this shared experience, but we all either are afraid of sounding crazy, you know, quote unquote, or you're just so nervous about it, you don't want to speak it into existence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's even like the idea of like making this thing mad, you know? So, Rita was the only person that knew for a long time. And it's just because I was so scared. She was the first person I called.
Well, thanks so much for sharing.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you. We'll talk to you later. Have a great
day. Thanks, Yasser. At least, I mean, like you fortify me. Thank you. Because some people are like, what?
No problem.
Oh, I love
no
you so
problem.
Much, honey.
Bye.
I love you more.
Bye, Yas.
Bye. Yasser. Yasser.
Can you believe that?
Oh, my God. Wait, what's the piano story?
The piano story is just, and that's just not me. That's a shared experience where you're just up in the office and we'd hear the piano playing. And sometimes like guys like Craig Robinson, you know, they like to hang out after hours. We like to feel, you know, like everybody's super welcome. And I don't have a problem if somebody's down there fucking around while I'm doing the paperwork, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was alone and I just heard the piano playing and I'm like, shit, you know, Craig. Back in the day, Zach Galifianakis used to play on the piano. So I thought maybe somebody was doing it, but there was no one there. But we had one manager. His name was Big Mike, and he like ran strip clubs in Vegas in the back. He was a big burly guy. He smoked tons of pot and like eat our pies in the kitchen after hours. He was so funny. But he would give me shit because I was trying to tell people that this was happening to me. And we started around the same time. I feel like he started maybe a month after me. And he was just giving me shit. Like I was crazy. And literally, he was a big guy, probably, you know, 6'3", 250, big guy. And he said, oh, my God, he heard the piano playing, too. It was, like, through the wall there in our office. It's like, it
and
seems.
And no one there.
And there was no one there.
Were they good at piano?
No, it was just kind of like this dinking around.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It wasn't like, you know, Bach or anything. But,
yeah.
I guess,
but was it Sebastian Bach?
No.
At least?
I don't know. It was, but that kind of, you know.
Well, it's interesting with places like this because clearly the ghosts, that's when I really believe that there's certain people that ghosts are drawn to. Or, like, why is it that some people have worked there for 20 years or more and might not even have experiences? Like, I think you're one of those people like me that ghosts are into.
Well, I feel like I am. I'm an emotionally open person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super open and communicative with people. And I talk to, you going back to people that have been there a long time. Last night I talked to John Kirk, and he's been a server there almost 30 years. But he did have like a 2-year break where he took off because we had some crazy management come in. So he took off and then we brought him back in. And he said, last night he told me, that when he first came back, he was going towards the showroom. There was a show going on, and he was going into the showroom, and there was a doorman standing there, and the door just opened for him. The door opened, and he just stood there looking at it, and then it closed back up.
Whoa.
And he said that was the first time, because he said he was looking around like, why aren't they doing stuff to me, you know, when I was talking about it. But he said that was a really spooky moment. And Jay had the same thing with the footsteps.
I just don't think a lot of people know that it's haunted. You know, I think because my experience was just like Yasser, where I didn't have any idea. And then, you know, something happened and then I spoke about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't. I wonder if this will maybe bring up more stories.
So talking about you being someone that ghost-like, I know you have other stories outside of the improv and terrifying stories.
Yeah.
What is this one you were telling me about? You had some kind of, sounds like a demon to me.
So I had, this is more recent. This is my little house. I live in this sweet little, like a guest house. It's like a little cottage. It's only about, you know, maybe 600 square feet, one bedroom, really cozy, tiny, but it's over, I think it's close to 100 years old.
Wow.
And I love it there. And it's up like two flights of stairs. It's behind a main house. And it's got like the colonial look, you know, it's got French doors and windows and like the pillars outside. It's just darling. And I had, this is about 5 years ago. And I'm in LA by myself. The only sense of family that I have would be work, or, you know, somebody that I'm very, that I've loved for a long time is comic Pablo Francisco. Mm-hmm. And he was on the road all the time. So I've had multiple surgeries, you know, unfortunately. And when I would have any kind of medical issue or something, he would get a car service for me. And it was family owned. And this lady, her name was Deb. She had, she was a recovering addict. She'd been sober for, I think, a decade. But she was just like one of those really nice, but just you could like a darkness about them. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like she just, you could tell that she had a very hard past.
Yeah.
And you know, a little pessimistic, but just like a, you know, people have like an aura around them, like a, I don't know, a juju around them.
Yeah.
Whether they're like very light and fun. She did not have that, but she was very kind to me and she, you know, did the job. But her and her brother would go, they would take me to surgeries and bring me home after surgery. So she brings me home one day and I needed her to carry up some groceries, right? Because I had to go get some stuff for food and I couldn't carry them up. And she comes up. She'd never been in my home. She comes up, and she was very awkward. Like, you could tell she didn't want to be there. So I walked in. I sat on the couch. She goes into my kitchen. When you walk into my house, it's a little living room, and to the left is a doorway to a galley kitchen and, like, a little dining area. And she walked in there, and she dropped the bags out. And, Roz, she was in and out, like, in 15 seconds. Like, she was uncomfortable. She, like, went in there, socially awkward. She drops the bags off, comes back out the door. And I look up, and I see, like, this. It looked like a goat.
What?
It was a goat on its hind legs. It had hooves. And it ran, like, in her direction. It ran from my kitchen towards the window, so through the doorway to the other side. It was brief, but I could clearly see it.
Now, not like, it wasn't like a person goat, like it was an actual, like
it looked
like
a goat. It was a goat, like up on its hind legs, big head, and it was like a brown color. It was like a almost transparent, but it was brown in color, and it went, like it chased her. She went out my door and it like went out almost the same time. And I remember thinking, she just brought this into my house.
Really? Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a belief that people have entities attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you have to be careful sometimes who you let into your house.
I mean, I was just like, bitch, you need to get the hell out. Go get in your car and drive away. But I'll never forget it. And like the way that it moved was very animal-like. And it was like running out with her. It didn't walk. It ran. And I just remember I was in shock. Like, did I just see that? Because, you know, a couple hours earlier I was, you know, medicated.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Do you think it could have been?
I don't think it was anything like that. I clearly saw it.
But then stuff started happening in relation to that, right?
Yeah. I was in bed one night and, you know, we're vampires in this business. So I was like forcing myself to go to bed. So I was awake and forcing myself to try to get some sleep. Otherwise, you miss the whole entire next day. And I was in my bed. And I had, like, printed sheets. My pillowcase and, like, the sheets over me, they were printed. And they had multiple, like, these flowers or, like, a border around the flowers. And I was still. And I felt it wasn't, like, a grabbing. It was, like, a very slow grasping of my feet. I'm freaking out. I'm fucking
You okay?
freaking out. Yeah. Like, I I slept with the crucifix after this for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I slept with the cross.
That is terrifying.
It was these hands, and they slowly grabbed onto my feet. And it started pulling me. And the reason I brought up the pattern of my sheets is because I could see the pattern of these flowers slowly going past my eyes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like I could see the pattern moving. Like I was, it was so slow. Like I was being slowly dragged off of my bed towards the foot of my bed.
Oh my God.
And I remember very clearly thinking, somebody broke into my house. He bashed me over the top of the head. I don't remember this. And my head's going to hit the floor. I remember thinking I'm going to die, and he's dragging me off of my bed, and my head is going to end up hitting the floor.
How far down the bed were you?
I ended up like with my feet on the floor. Like I was sitting almost in a sitting position.
Yeah.
When I came up, and I ran out of my house. I screamed and I ran out of my house, and
of course there was nobody there.
I've never been like how Yasser was saying before. I've never been that scared, and that's when I called, you know, someone in my church and talked to them about it. I'm like, and they were talking about how there's demons and they'll come in if there's something not right in your life, or there's something not right. You could have brought it in from somewhere. Yeah. Were you around somebody that had this sort of energy? And
car service lady brought it in.
Oh, my God.
Wait, so did you feel like it felt like a human grabbing your
Absolutely.
Legs?
Absolutely. It was two hands, one hand
warm
on
like
each.
Warm like a human?
Yes, one hand on each foot. Because I remember it like slowly grasping. You know, I've heard stories of like ghosts tickling feet and, you know, kind of fun. And no, this was a slow, it felt evil, grabbing onto my feet, like grasping, tightening, and then pulling. And I think the most terrifying part of it was watching the pattern of my bed sheets going past, you know, my cheek. Mm-hmm. Like I was being dragged off my bed. So
how did this end? Because it's not still going on, right?
I don't know. I slept with the cross, and what I've been doing.
Are you Catholic?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom and dad are Sicilian. They came over from Sicily, so yeah, I was raised Catholic. Even to this day, last night I sleep with the big pillows, like decorative pillows I have on my bed. I sleep with them on my feet since that time.
In hopes that you won't get dragged
out.
That
I never feel that again. Like to this day, last night, that's part of my going to bed process is I put pillows over my feet and I put them, I'm going to cry, and I put them on my body because it was that terrifying. And I have a cross next to my bed, but after initially that, I slept with the cross like next to me, holding it. Big old Italian cross too. Mm-hmm. That's on my nightstand. I slept with it, and I got rid of everything. Like, you know those candles you see in the grocery store that are like of Jesus, or those big tall candles.
Or Ross Dress for Less, my merch.
Do you have them
like that? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you burn them. They burn for like 5 days. You're not supposed to blow them out.
Yeah, yeah.
I threw like everything out in my. I had a couple of those, and I thought maybe they had been. I know it sounds so crazy to say, but like I felt like maybe those were hexed or something.
But were they Catholic?
No, they were just like they just had the Jesus thing with like the prayer on the back. So I don't know what denomination they were, but you know.
But still, that's interesting.
So I got rid of those in the house, and I haven't felt anything since then.
And that last incident was 5 years ago.
This is 2014. It would have been, 2014, so 5 years ago. And I just went through a phase like that next week when I had the cross. I would pray the rosary. I'd pray the rosary out loud. I would say, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. I would say it, you know, world without end. I would say it like, 20 times, or the Our Father.
See, now I was raised Catholic. I do not identify as a Catholic. But I've had a lot of discussion on the show in recent times about do I believe in demons or just dark energies? Or I'm not really sure how I feel about that. But whatever it is, I do know that there are energies that do not like Our Father and rosaries, and that scares them off.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I know. Not that I'm trying to make people be Catholic or anything, but I've seen. I mean, that's what exorcisms are,
right? I always like viewed it as I had a really good experience, but it's growing up in the Catholic Church. But I identify it more as a cultural thing. It brings me peace because I know, like, my father and his father and his father and his father and his father
and
did
our
this.
Father
and our father, you know, all did this. So that brings me a sense of peace. So I think I know that's why I kind of run to that.
Yeah.
Like, but that was my only weapon. I mean,
it works for a lot of people. And like I said, it seems to work against demons.
Oh, my God.
If those are real. And I believe that whatever you were dealing with, that sounds to me like what people explain demons as. I mean, a goat on hind legs.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, like kind of going back to our conversation with Yasser is, you know, talking about, is that in some sort, is it in the living in your mind somewhere, something that you've thought about in the past, something that you've been exposed to in the past? I'd never thought in that context at all, especially with the goat. I mean, you'd hear it, I guess, throughout your, you know, bits and pieces, I guess. But it's not something that I was ambushed by it. It's not something that I ever, like, explored in my mind or thought, even had a thought about on a personal level. So that's why I think why it scared the shit out of me so much, is because it just really came out of nowhere. And it was the timing of it, too, with her, that I'm like, yeah, something's chasing her. Something's leaving with her.
Have you seen her since then?
No.
See, your stories are stories of ghosts, in my opinion, kind of being dangerous, because you've had two instances where you thought you were being assaulted, or someone was breaking and entering, or whatever, you know, stuff like that. That's when you got a problem. And that's when it's like, this isn't a cute ghost. This is like,
the cops
are getting involved.
Yeah, this isn't a ghost hiding from me. Or, you know, I had an experience. My very first experience was a see-through white ghost, those transparent.
Say what? When was this?
This was in 1990. It was whenever the Phoenix Suns were playing the Bulls in the final championship for the NBA. And the reason why I know
this. Well, I would know which year it was.
I think it was 91 or 92. But I had this boyfriend and, big Italian family, big Italian father, macho baracho. And I'd been at his house, and the living room was situated. You'd sit and face the TV, and then off to the right was a hallway. And there was like a little pod of rooms, you know, like down this hallway. There were two rooms to the right and the master bedroom to the left, and then a bathroom. And I would say probably six or seven times while I was watching TV over, you know, a course of some months, I would see it was definitely a woman. She was in all white, like a flowy, but it wasn't formal. I kind of feel like it was a nightshirt, almost like a nightgown. Mm-hmm. And out of the corner of my eye, I would see this person walk from one side of the hallway to the other, right? And I wouldn't say anything to anybody. It's like what we've been talking about. You don't want to say anything to anybody because they're going to think you're crazy.
Yeah.
And I would see it go. It would be like, I don't know, every couple of visits, or when we were watching TV, it wasn't every single time.
And she was see-through.
She was see-through, and she would go from right to left or left to right, right? So I didn't say anything. And the reason—
That's a ghosty ghost.
Right. She was a ghosty ghost. I didn't say anything. And then we were watching the NBA Finals. That's why I remember this so clearly, because the whole family was sitting there.
Uh-huh.
And we were watching the game, and I saw it again. And I said, and it went from left to right. She went left to right, and I just said, fuck it. I'm going to say so. I go, did you guys just see? And every one of them, even his father, Mr. Italian, was like, oh my God, we've been seeing this. Are you seeing it? Like, the family hadn't even discussed it amongst themselves.
Oh, really?
Nobody had discussed it, but everybody had been seeing it. It was not my home. It was their home.
Wow.
And every single person on that family.
Were
that
they
family,
new to that house, do you think?
They had been there maybe, I think relatively, maybe a couple of years. But they all just, everybody stood up and was like, oh my God, I've been seeing this. I thought it was crazy. And they all had, it's a lady. It's an old lady. She's in white.
Was she like floating or walking?
She was walking. But she like wasn't threatening or anything. She just, I feel like it's somebody that died in the house and she's like wandering around trying to find her medication. I mean, that's kind of the like the way her gait. She's like wandering around like, huh, where's my blood pressure and medication? Or like, you know, I need to take an insulin injection. I don't know. She's just kind of like wandering. It wasn't, you know, and she'd go back
spooky.
And forth. Oh, weird.
You want to hear some ghost voices?
Yeah.
Okay. It's time for
EVPs
or EV please. Do you know what an EVP is?
No.
Okay, EVP is electronic voice phenomena. It's when on like ghost hunter shows they capture a voice. They call that an EVP.
Oh.
So I go to YouTube and I find EVPs, so ghost voices. And I want you to guess what the ghost hunter believes these ghosts are saying.
Oh, no.
Or what you think they're saying. Just a good guess. Sometimes it's an EVP. Sometimes it's an EV, please. So the first one is from Gas Paranormal, is what they're called on YouTube. And this is in Burlington County Prison Museum in Mount Holly, New Jersey. You might hear a little bit of the ghost hunter speaking, but you can tell which one is the ghost voice. It's a little more raspy. All right, tell me what you think they're saying.
That's it?
Yeah, that's the voice.
Okay,
I cut it off before the ghost hunter started. Okay, let's try it again.
Oh, it sounds like he's got like an Australian accent. Can you play it one more time? I have no idea.
I'll give you some options. Is it A, who's that messy bitch? B, guess who's pregnant? C, who's that message for? Or D, who's a prisoner?
Play it one more. I think it's who's that messy bitch.
It's who's that message for?
Who's that message
but
for?
But we've all been there. Who's that messy bitch?
Oh, I don't know if I can do this.
Is it scary?
That is for real. I've never heard a ghost outside of the noise. Like, I've never heard a voice of a ghost.
Well, welcome to Ghosted. Here's another one. This one is from Jersey Paranormal Investigations, and it was in a private house in Pittman, New Jersey. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is a little bit more whispery. Okay, let's try it again.
God, I'm here? Something I'm here?
That's a good guess. Okay, is it A, look at it from here? B, look out about here? C, look, Adam is here? Or D, just whisper.
What was the first option?
Look at it from here.
Look at it from here.
That's what I think it is.
I think it is,
but they think
Ross.
It's look out about here. That doesn't even make sense. It's look at it from here.
So they don't give you how they translate it? Like,
no, that's just what they guess.
Oh, my God.
That's just what they assume. But I always think it's funny because ghost hunters are like, no, this is what they said.
I mean, if I heard something like that, I don't know what I would do. I would have to go to a hospital.
What if you heard, yes, yeah, sir?
With the breath, yes, sir.
Well, it'd be really creepy if you heard it.
Oh, my God.
Because you're not, yes, sir. Thanks, Rita. God, I love that episode. Oh, and also a special shout out to Yasser Lester, the comedian and actor who made a little cameo in that. That was so fun. So, okay, here's something I'm going to do. Here is a special offer. Please, if you buy tickets to the live show this weekend, since we do have two handfuls of them left that I want to get rid of, if you have bought tickets already or you plan on buying tickets, send me an email at ghostedbyroz@gmail.com and just, you know, tell me that you bought tickets. Give me like the confirmation code that they give you, or just you snap a photo of it and send it to me just so I know that you bought a ticket. And then I'll give you a free ticket. So kind of a buy one, get one free kind of a thing. So yeah, let's do that. Just email me, ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. All right, guys, please join the Facebook group, Ghosted by Roz Dresfeles. Also follow me on Instagram, Roz Dresfeles. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you do that. If you have a ghost story, you can leave it in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or in the Facebook group, or you can email me, ghostedbyroz@gmail.com, wherever you want to. Guys, I love you all, both living and dead. But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.